Hey, good morning. I'd like to start by formally apologizing to Ed for leaving his I accidentally left his vocal unmuted when he was talking about the Avengers right before Devo started. Sorry, my bad. Oh man, hey, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning, sincerely. If you would, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. As I was studying this, I had a couple different things that I was excited about talking about, so I put it in a poll at the beginning, and this was the one that was picked, and I'm glad. This title of this Devo will be Things That You Need Before You Can Share the Gospel. Things That You Need Before You Can Share the Gospel. And I'm just going to go ahead and get started. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you sincerely for this time, and I ask that you would please speak. Lord, get man out of the way, and would you please glorify yourself? Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we sit in the middle of all of this craziness, one of the interesting things that has happened is that people seem to be more open sometimes to hearing about the Lord and the gospel. Some of you guys have seen this. I've seen Facebook posts about it, and I've seen other kinds of things where conversations, though we have to be more intentional about our conversations, it's cool how sometimes open people are and reconnecting with people that we haven't talked to in a long time. It's been fun in the chat seeing people that I haven't seen in a really long time and just seeing them all pop in, and it's this cool kind of version of fellowship. But in the midst of thinking about that, I was thinking of when we as a youth group were going through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we came across this chapter, and I felt like there was just this really cool message in the middle of it about things that you need before you can share the gospel. I want to remind you to start that in Ephesians chapter 4, as everybody knows, verse 12, it talks about the call of to gifts and to positions within the body. And it says, he gave some to be apostles and preachers and teachers and all of these things for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That we're all called to do it. And so I want to, I suppose, remind us all of a scripture that equips us all in sharing the gospel. What do you need in order to share the gospel? Well, just to start, you need to know the gospel. So the Romans Road. If you haven't ever studied that, you can actually Google it or go to Greg Laurie's website, or I'm not sure if we have one on our website. But you need to know the gospel, right? But after that, what do you need? I have a list, and if Wes will put it on the screen, I put a list of things that I think we usually think of. Before you can share the gospel, do you need to be able to speak good, to understand everything perfectly, to be fearless, to have big O confidence, strength, to feel like you've got it together, not looking like you want to crap your pants, and this is for youth group. Self-confidence, self-reliance, persuasion-ness, which is a word that I invented that I really like. Do you need to have human wisdom, the best arguments? Do you need to have the Holy Spirit? And I love this section of scripture because Paul comes and he addresses all of them. Paul, a person who we usually think of as being a person who had all of these things, especially in retrospect, and we look at him. But as he says here, verse 1 of chapter 2, "I, brethren, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom in declaring to you the testimony of God." And another scripture, Paul says that in his letters he seemed fearsome, but in person he seemed weak. And it seems that the very first thing on that list, being able to speak good, was not something that Paul had a lot of. He didn't come in excellence of speech. He just came and he declared the testimony of God. So you don't need to be able to speak good. And you don't, for I determined, verse 2, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The main point of what Paul explained, what he aimed at, was very simply the gospel, Christ and him crucified. Do you as a believer need to understand everything perfectly? No. It's fantastic to be discipled in the word of God and everything else. But you, if you understand the gospel and the goodness of like Christ's death on the cross, then God's love declared through his son's death, God's redemption through his resurrection. If you understand that, you understand enough to share the gospel. Isn't that awesome? For I was with you, verse 3, in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Paul was scared, something that we can all relate to, myself included. There are certain scenarios, I think, where I find myself extremely confident, right? And there are plenty of them where I don't. And we're all familiar with this. I will tell you that for me, teaching is something that I enjoy. Evangelism is something that I struggle with, honestly. Like, it scares me. But that's okay. I at one time heard a quote that said, courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing the right thing anyway. And I think about that a lot. Paul was not fearless. Paul did not have big O confidence, as I said, in himself. He had it in the gospel, as he says in Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everybody who believes. In my speech, verse 4, and in much trembling. Strength, do you have to feel strong? No. Do you have to feel like you have got it all together? You'll be waiting your whole life, at least in my experience so far, to feel like you have it all together. Man, God has it all together. And in much trembling, I wrote on there that you don't need to not look like you want to crap your pants. And in other words, man, sometimes it's okay to be afraid, like, and be nervous. I remember one time in Bible college, we had this class, okay, and God bless Rich Day. He was teaching this class, and he said, I have assignments for you every week, and you had to evangelize. Like, it was Bible college. He forced you to evangelize. And one of them, it was different every week. Like, the first couple weeks, it was easy. Like, I want you to place a chuck track in a pocket of something at a store. One of them, down the line, I remember seeing it at the beginning of the semester and being like, oh, no, because it said open-air preaching. You just have to go, and you have to, like, stand somewhere and you have to preach the gospel. And I remember seeing that week one and being like, I'm never doing that. I don't know. And that week came, we went downtown to the bus stop back when you could be around people. And I remember, like, there were a bunch of people there, and I couldn't quite get the nerve to just, like, stand up and start shouting. So I went up, I found, like, this group of people, and there were a lot of people with me, like, backing me up, like, you got this. And there was this group of people, like a circle of them, like six of them. And I went up to them and I was like, hey, I have this assignment. Can I talk to you guys for a minute? And they were all like, yeah. And I probably looked like I wanted to crap my pants. And but you just kind of went for it. And I remember the moment that I started saying, so Jesus, with one dude immediately turned and walked away, immediately. And that was like, okay, great start. And then we kept going, and slowly over the course of about 10, I mean, it probably wasn't that long, everybody walked away from that, except for one person. And it was a girl, and her name was Diamond. And she ended up praying with me, which was awesome. And it was so wild because I walked into that having no, I was scared. I mean, like, I just was. And but we just kind of went for it because, like, Rich said I had to. And it was really cool. Man, do you need to have get-it-togetherness or... I feel like I'm going to hear about from Dad about this. Looking like you don't want to crap your pants. No, you don't. In my speech, verse 4, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It has nothing to do with us. And that's the thing that makes us usable, right? It's not about you. It's not about us. Therefore, we're usable because we don't need self-confidence. We don't need any self-reliance. Actually, Lord, help us against it. We don't need to be persuasive, to have persuasionness, as I put, or even human wisdom, or have the best arguments or whatever else. And he says, verse 4 again, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but but in the power of God. So if you pull up the first one that's unlabeled, just the first one. It's okay, you did the second one already. You don't need speak good, understand everything perfectly, fearlessness, big O confidence, strength, get it togetherness, not looking like you want to crap your pants, self-confidence, self-reliance, persuasionness, human wisdom, or the best arguments. What you need is the Holy Spirit. So go for it. Have fun. Most people won't be into it. But listen, you are not a salesman. You're an ambassador. And there's a difference between those two. A salesman has to be able to present this thing or whatever in the floweriest terms. We're not called to be salesmen. We're called to be ambassadors. We're to represent Christ to people. And then I just one thing real fast before I finish. In demonstration of the Spirit and of power, we tell the gospel and we live the gospel. Walk with God in the power of the Spirit. Your life will demonstrate the reality and the power of the gospel as you simply let God have his way in and through you. You can share your testimony, your story, milestones in your relationship with Jesus. And then there's also relationship evangelism. I'm not really a person who loves to go downtown, and I think that's okay. But I am a person who is totally willing to talk to people, and I like to listen. You can just build relationships with people that can bear the weight of real talk. Live in holiness, be quick to repent and love other people, and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then as we win that influence, share the gospel. All you need is the Holy Spirit. So that's it. That's the plan. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, and I thank you the fact that you and your Holy Spirit are in us, and you speak through us. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunity in the midst of this time and our connection with people. And would you help us, Lord, as always, just to be wise and loving on people? And there's always that balance, I suppose, between forcing it and then being bold. And would you give wisdom? But Lord, would you use us to preach your gospel to people who need it, need to have confidence in something besides what's going to happen tomorrow, because we don't know. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. Bless today. In Jesus' name, amen.